Welcome to Commons and Chronicles, the podcast where we talk about all the best Creative Commons and reusable open game license content. If you need resources for your creative writing, game design, or you just love lore, Commons and Chronicles is for you. Hi everyone, this is another episode in the Conan the Barbarian series. I got a little bit of feedback from someone named Victor, and Victor says that he's been enjoying the show, thank you very much, but that he had a logistical question, and that is, what time period am I covering exactly when I speak of the Conan world? And Victor raises a good point. I'm smashing all the time periods together. So I'm looking at all 20 or whatever it is original Robert E. Howard stories and just collapsing them, which is why, for instance, in the Numidian episode, I said that there are more than one kings named in the text. So there's a king Numa and a king Nimed, and I'm not accounting for the timelines of these things, and that's partly because Robert E. Howard himself does not state explicitly the chronology of his Conan stories. Now, people have gone to the books later and imposed a timeline on them, and some of them are very obvious. You know, some of them, like when Conan is a king, and it states that in his youth he has done many things. You know, it's kind of clear that, okay, this is some point in Conan's life where he is older. And these specific events that he talks about in his past, like when he joined and ruled over a crew of pirates, well, then a story mentioning an event in which he joins and eventually has command over a group of pirates, we can assume that that is the thing that he mentioned when he was older. So people have kind of organized the stories into a timeline, but a lot of those stories aren't super clear, and it's just kind of like, well, let's just put it in there because we don't have any other place to put it. So I'm shying away from nailing anything down and just saying, these are the regions, these are what happened in the region, this is what is discussed, and that's it. If you want to extrapolate a timeline from the original stories, or if you want to look up online what the general consensus of the timeline is, that's fine. That's just not for me, and so I'm ignoring it, because to impose that on the original stories, I think, is outside the scope of what I've said I wanted to do, which is to take the original content from Robert E. Howard and analyze it. So that's hopefully clarifies that I'm snapshotting a broad span of time, you know, a lifetime, Conan's lifetime, and just collapsing it into one snapshot. This episode, I want to talk about Turin. T-U-R-A-N. Turin is the beginning of a complex subject, because Turin is a Hyrcanian kingdom. To qualify as a Hyrcanian kingdom, your people must be Hyrcanian. So in other words, the term Hyrcanian is a descriptor for people from a certain region, which it's a little bit hard to tell where that region is, how big it is, and what exactly it encompasses. But from what I can tell, it includes pretty major either kingdoms or regions, including the kingdom of Turin, of Zamboula, Zamora, Khwarazm, and a couple of other places. So the Hyrcanians are a major force in this world. I see no evidence to suggest that it is anywhere but to the west of the region that we have discussed up to this point. So in other words, on my map that I'm reconstructing more or less from Robert E. Howard's descriptions of where things are on a book-by-book basis, then everything west of, say, Brynthunia, the Bosonian Marches, and Numidia, and Aquilonia, all that stuff would be to the west. I say that because, well, it's often described that the Hyrcanians ride east in order to attack, for instance, Aquilonia. And we already know that between Aquilonia and anything else is, at the very least, the Bosonian Marches and Brynthunia and Numidia. So I'm assuming that further west would be the Kingdom of Turin and the greater area of Hyrcania. Now, we will talk about other Hyrkanian kingdoms in other episodes. But Turin is major enough, I think, to sort of deserve its own. And just know that this entire region, from the eastern point of view of things, this region is often just kind of lumped in with each other no matter what. So I think a lot of people in Aquilonia, for instance, and you know, your everyday person on the street might not really think of Hyrkania as the Hyrkanian region. They wouldn't think of it in terms of what kingdom someone was from. They wouldn't say, oh yeah, don't go over to Vindhya because that's not a good region. They would just say, don't go to the Hyrkanian region. And they would lump Vindhya in with Gurusha and Shalazar and Darfur and Wadai and all those other places. So it gets kind of difficult to extrapolate one from the other when you're reading about it, simply because so many people just say, hey, that's over in Hyrkanian, that those are Hyrkanians, don't mess with them, or whatever, you know, we trade with Hyrkanians. Well, maybe they really mean that they trade with someone in Turin, but to them it's just, you know, a Hyrkanian. Okay, a couple of landmarks in Turin, specifically, is the Jumda River, a river in the Turin region, probably on the border of Turin and the Himalayan mountain range. There is also a famous temple there, or I'm assuming it's a temple. It's called Yezud, Y-E-Z-U-D. Could be a city with a temple in it. Could be a region with a temple in it. But it is, it's Hyrkanian, probably in Turin, and it is, there is a temple there, or it is a temple, where temple girls of Yezud dance, wearing big black jade beads, and they dance to a spider god, or goddess. Not really clear on which. Now, I call that out specifically because it's just one of the many different kind of connections that we can make from the descriptions. Yezud, with its temple girls dancing to a spider god, may be hanging out in Zamora, a kingdom known for its spiders. And later on, when we talk about the gods of this region, you'll find that there is, in fact, a spider god. So, or possibly a spider god. So it's just kind of some interesting, maybe flavorful stuff. Now, there are different regions and cities in Turin and around Turin. As I say, it's a little bit difficult to separate one thing from the other, but here are some names of places and what I know about them. There is Afghulistan, a region in Turin. It's a night's journey from Peshkari. Now, Peshkari, we know, is near Vindhya. It is reached by camel caravan through the Zabar Pass. It is north, specifically, of Vindhya. So, Peshkari is kind of an important region. We hear about it a lot. It's something that comes up in conversation a couple of times. There's also a place called Gulistan. That's Gulistan. It's a region near Peshkari. And Iranistan, in the area of Peshkari and Gulistan. It's in that same sort of cluster of places. And again, I don't know if these are villages, major cities, or just regions. And then, of course, there's Vindhya, a region south of Peshkari. There is also Khurasun, Khurusun, a region where there's that's quite well known for its goldsmithing. Conan's been there once. He said so. I don't think, if I recall correctly, we don't actually go there with him. He just mentions that he's been there. There's Gurusha, Gurashah, which is a valley near Peshkari. Its people are called the Dagozai and the Irakzai. That's Dagozai and the Irakzai, Irakzai. There is another pass, so we know of a couple of passes now. We know the Zabar Pass, Zhaibar Pass. That's the one that camels go through near Peshkari to get to Vindhya. And now we have the Amir Jehun Pass. That's AMIR JEHUN. This is a pass in the Gurusha region. It goes through part of the Afghuli country. There's also the Shalazar Pass, which is longer than the Amir Jehun Pass, but it avoids Afghuli country. So if you're not friends to the Afghuli, you might want to consider the Shalazar Pass. So if you're getting the idea that this region is quite mountainous, I think that would be safe to assume. There's also a place called Darfar, Darfar. I believe it's mostly a region because it is described as a place mostly overrun by modern cities like Zamboula. It happens to be home to a cannibalistic cult, and Set worship is also very common in this area. Don't know much about it. It sounds really intriguing. Anytime there's cannibals and Set worshippers, two distinct groups there. Set worshippers are not known to be cannibalistic. I think there's a lot of possibility. The thing that I'm wondering is how Set worship got all the way over to Hyrcania, and one does wonder. There is also a region called Wadai, Wadai. It is a region near Darfar and Zamboula. It's considered more civilized than Darfar. So let's talk about some cities. There's a city called the Tower of the Kites, which features a tower adorned with five skulls of the people who attempted and failed to assassinate the king of Vendia. Vendia, you'll remember, is a region south of Peshkari. The city of Ayodhya, that's Ayodhya, is the royal city of Vindhya. Is Vindhya at all related to Turin? I don't know. It may be within the kingdom of Turin, or it may be adjacent to Turin. I'm not too clear on which of those things is true, but it's all in Hyrcanian region, so I figure I'll lump it in together. So a city definitely in Turin, well, almost definitely, is the city of Secunderam. That's Secunderam. Northern city in Turin, probably near the Himalayan Mountains, because we know that the Himalayan Mountains are north of of Turin, although we don't really know the distance, so maybe it's nowhere near the Himalayan Mountains. This city is known to have been conquered by a guy named Yezdegerd. That's Yezdegerd. Another city in Turin, or at least occupied by Turin, is Khorbul, Khorbul. Again, geology in this region is pretty difficult to extrapolate from the text, but we do know that Khorbul is either Turin-occupied or maybe within Turin walls itself, I'm not sure. A couple of different factions. We know, or factions or tribes maybe would be a better term, because this whole region has a lot of... You remember in one of the episodes I was talking about the free companies. This has a lot of, I guess, either free companies or free companions, whatever they want to call themselves. It changes from book to book, really, from group to group. But there are a lot of wandering, kind of nomadic people in this region. So the Afghulis, who you remember we kind of mentioned when I was talking about the Amir Jehun Pass and the Shalaza Pass. The Afghulis are a tribe of Kshatriyas or Kshatriyas-like people, I'm not sure which, in the Peshkari region within Turan. Conan actually joins up with them for a while. So I get from the book and from both, from really Earth context, right, from our own history and from our own reality, I kind of imagine that the Afghulis are a semi-nomadic tribe who kind of owns a block of land just sort of through sheer possession or sheer occupation. Occupation being 9/10 of the law or whatever they say. I think that's probably the feel that I'm getting from the Afghulis. That they don't appear to have, you know, cities and stuff, but I mean they've established dwelling in this specific land, and enough of a dwelling that people trying to go through their land maybe consider sometimes whether they should take the Amir Jehun or the Shalaza path pass, depending on their relationship to the Afghulis. There's another tribe or nomadic group in Turin called the Khurum Wazulis. That's Khurum, Khurum Wazulis, Wazulis. They're a band of nomadic people in Turin in the Zaibar Mountains mostly. That's Zhai B-A-R, and you'll remember, of course, that there's a Zybar Pass through that region as well. Now, there's a really cool group called the Nameless Hermits of Jelai. That's J-H-E-L-A-I. These are mystics, or possibly just historians, but I kind of got the sense that they were mystics living in caves below Jelai. I believe this is in the Peshkari region. It's mentioned, like, once, I'm not sure, but that's kind of the feeling from context and kind of where it was mentioned. I think it's probably also in the Peshkari region. Another group that you might find being discussed in this general region are the Kozaks. That's K-O-Z-A-K. So on the broad steppes between the Sea of Vilayet and the borders of the easternmost Hyborian kingdoms, a new race had sprung up in the past half century, formed originally of fleeing criminals, broken men, escaped slaves, and deserting soldiers. They were men of many crimes and countries, some born of the steppes, some fleeing from the kingdoms in the west. They were called Kozak, which means wastrel, dwelling on the wild, open steppes, owning no law but their own peculiar code. They had become a people capable even of defying the Grand Monarch. Ceaselessly, they raided the Turanian frontier, retiring in the steppes when defeated. With the pirates of Vilayet, men of much the same breed, they harried the coast, preying off the merchant ships which plied between the Hyrcanian ports. Conan actually becomes their leader for a while, the Kozaks. So, Kozaks are obviously basically land pirates. They raid Turanian frontier land. They are their own group. And Conan joined up with them, as he also joined up, as you'll recall, with the Afghulis and with some other free companies. Conan gets around. He joins a lot of sort of rebel groups. I think the Kozaks are qualified as a rebellion. And they don't really specifically say, like in the text, who the Grand Monarch is that this Kozak group defies, but I'm assuming it's just whatever king happens to be in position in the region at the time. And the king, since we're talking about the king, is for at least two books, is Yezdegerd. Yezdegerd is the king. He's the Hyrcanian king of Turin. He is known to be one of the mightiest monarchs in the entire world. He's got a palace in the great city of Agrapur and owns fleets of purple-sailed war galleys along the Vilayet Sea. His armies ravage the borders of Stygia in the south and the snowy lands of the Hyperboreans in the north. His riders bear torch and sword westward into Brythunia and Ophir and Corinthia, even to the borders of Numidia. In the glutted slave markets of Agrapur, Sultanapur, Khwarizm, Shapur, and Khorasan, women were sold for 3 small silver coins, blonde Brythunians, tawny Stygians, dark-haired Zamorians, ebon Cushites, olive-skinned Shemites. So Yezdegerd is a powerful guy. He kind of, from what I can tell, mixes in war with trade, which is an interesting mix. Kind of one of those things that, I guess, you go to war to get stuff to trade. And, yeah, he's a pretty powerful guy. He defeated Secunderam, a northern city near Turan, and I guess he's probably trying to expand his kingdom often. Definitely seems like a force of the region. And, in fact, Karim Shah, that's K-E-R-I-M space S-H-A-H, Karim Shah is a prince from Iranistan, and he serves Yezdegerd of Turin. So even though Iranistan presumably isn't technically a part of Turin, it sounds like Turin has some of the surrounding regions kind of swearing allegiance to Turin, or to Yezdegerd. Chundershan, is the governor of Peshkari. Khosru Khan is the governor of Secunderam, and Yar Afzal is the chieftains to the Wazulis, and a friend to Conan. So again, just to clarify the factions here, Yar Afzal is lord over the Wazulis, and the Karum Wazulis, of course, are the nomadic people in Turin in the Zybar Mountains, sort of a rebel group. Not the Kozaks, but a rebel group like the Kozaks, or like the free companies, or maybe generically are a free company, and that's they're friendly towards Conan. And I think that's something to keep in mind, that Conan rarely calls a king or royalty or noble a friend. he generally favors the groups of rebels, although he becomes a king himself later in his life, and does have certain nobles that he calls either friends or loyalists. Those are really, I guess, two different things. But generally, he's going to side with the groups of rebels in any region. We know a little bit about some gods of the Hyrcanian region. Not a whole lot. We know that the common god that you'll hear about is Tarim, or Tarim, T-A-R-I-M. He is the god of Turin, of the kingdom of Turin. So that would include places like Khwarezm and Peshkari, Iranistan, and all the other places that we've talked about. There's also Erlik, E-R-L-I-K, or Erlik. He or she is a god of the Turanians as well, especially prominent in Zamboula. And then, of course, we know, as I mentioned earlier, we know that in Zamora, they appear to worship a spider god. Now, also in Zamora, we know that in Yazud, they worship a spider god. I'm assuming that Zamora is the home of Yazud. This is an assumption on my part. Zamora is, the description of Zamora is that it has dark-haired women. As you can tell, regions in Conan the Barbarian books are often described by the type of women that are there. Zamora has dark-haired women and towers of spider-haunted mystery. The fact that there's spider-haunted mystery in Zamora, that Zamora is in the Hyrcanian region, and that Yazud has spider-worshipping temple women, it just, to me, that says all the spider stuff happens in Zamora. So I'm assuming that they've got a spider god in Zamora. And we also know that Zamora is not necessarily... I don't get the feeling that Zamora necessarily wants to be part of the kingdom of Turin. So I would expect them to have their own god almost out of obstinance. And I say this because Zamora pay tribute to Yezdegerd, the king of Turin. They pay tribute to this king, which, I mean, that could happen willfully or happily. They might be happy to do that, but I kind of feel like probably it's something that they are told to do rather than something that they just do because they like Turin and figure it might be cool to pay taxes to them. So that's kind of my feeling on that subject. And again, there's a lot of assumptions being made there. It could be completely wrong in Robert E. Howard's mind, but to me, those things kind of got all... It serves as a good rationale for me to make Zamora a slightly unwilling subject to Turin, and therefore having its own spider-centric god and spider-centric temple and spider-haunted mystery, whatever that means. That's everything I have on the Kingdom of Turin. As I hopefully illustrated, there's a lot going on in the Kingdom of Turin and in the region, in the Hyrcanian region. You will hear more about the Hyrcanian region because there's a lot more there. I might have to lump it in all together as well because there's a lot of different parts that aren't necessarily connected all that well. But you do know that Hyrcanian region itself is, well, certainly part of it is quite mountainous, but it's full of nomadic groups. It's a real good mix. And I think in terms of the general feel of this region, absolutely. Dungeons & Dragons Al-Qadim, if you're a fan of that setting, that's kind of what we're talking about, I feel, for this area. Now, that's just me again, but there's a lot to suggest that this is the very traditional kind of Persian and you know, Middle Eastern-like region of the Conan the Barbarian world. Not to say that there aren't other regions. I mean, obviously Stygia, you could probably argue you would probably argue that it's quite Egyptian in feel. So you've got a lot of different, you got different regions for different purposes and different analogies to real life and to real history, none of which necessarily you'd have to absolutely force yourself to use. But I think that's kind of the overall feel. And it's a good feel. It's good because there is a tendency to want to draw on our own history. And when that kind of fits into a region in our fantasy world, that's sometimes convenient. So that's what I've got on Turin. Hopefully it was entertaining and informative. Talk to you next time. That's it for this week's episode. Thank you very much for listening. My name is Klaatu. You can reach me via email at klaatu@member.fsf.org. You can also usually catch me in IRC as not Klaatu. I'm on the Freenode network. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.